Good morning and welcome to worship at West End. Come, Holy Spirit, inspire our souls, our hearts, our minds, and all that we do today. Once again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End. We're very pleased that you're here. Perhaps you're here week in and week out. It's great to see you. Maybe this is your very first visit or you've just begun attending. It's wonderful that you're here with us. And those of us who are around week in and week out want to meet you and welcome you, shake your hand, and make you feel at home. But if we don't get to you quickly enough, you come find us. Introduce yourselves because we do want to know you and we'd love it if you would find a home here with us. One way to start doing that is to be involved in what the congregation is doing. You can find lots of those opportunities listed in the bulletin inserts. I'm going to just lift up a few. First of all, our pictorial directory is coming along. You will find a sign-up board or two sign-up boards in Reed Hall. If you want to sign up, there are June dates, 17 through 19 and 24 through 26, and the August dates are the 8th through the 10th and the 13th through the 15th. You can read more about that in your bulletin insert and find out more about that after the service in Reed Hall. We have a combined Sunday school class beginning in McWhorter Hall next Sunday, and we'll be studying The Virtue in the Vice, Finding Seven Lively Virtues in the Seven Deadly Sins by Dr. Robin Myers. I know there are several Sunday school classes who are combining to make this, but even if you don't belong to a Sunday school class or don't attend Sunday school regularly, please come. You're welcome. That's during our Sunday school hour, roughly 9:45 to 10. Next Sunday it begins, and you'll find more information on this bulletin insert. Our Guatemala mission team left early yesterday morning, and I got an email between services that they arrived safely, they are in place, and ready to go to work. I know you will continue to surround them with prayers until their return, which is late next Sunday evening. And finally, our Tennessee Annual Conference begins this afternoon and continues through Wednesday afternoon. I hope you'll be in prayer for us. All of your pastors will be there. Your lay representatives will be there. Your lay members of conference will be there. And we will be discussing a vision for this conference that has come out of many, many, many conversations. And hopefully will be a refreshing thing for this annual conference. So please keep us in your prayer this week as we learn and make decisions. Did you hear that? That's not just the air conditioner. I think that's the wind of the Holy Spirit. That's not just a flame. It's the fire of God's presence. May the wind of God's Spirit and the fire of God's presence be with us in this hour and beyond.
The Spirit is here among us.
With us, around us, between us.
The Spirit is here to strengthen us.
Bringing courage, bringing conviction.
The Spirit is here to move us.
Making us sing and praise.
The Spirit is here. May we feel the Spirit as we gather.
And may our worship fill us with the Spirit.
On this Pentecost Sunday, let us now confess to God, both individually and as a community, who and what we are. Almighty God, you poured your Spirit upon gathered disciples, creating bold tongues, open ears, and a new community of faith. We confess that we hold back the force of your Spirit among us. We do not listen for your word of grace. Speak the good news of your love, or live as a people made one in Christ. Have mercy on us, O God. Transform our timid lives by the power of your Spirit, and fill us with a flaming desire to be your faithful people, doing your will for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hear these words of assurance. God hears our confession and forgives all. May we live as a people transformed by God's grace and forgiveness and filled with the Holy Spirit.
Thank you. Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Acts of the Apostles. When the day of the Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them the ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each one of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed to them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated, and if our youngsters who would care to come down, got at least one, come on down here. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for coming down. It may just be you and me today, but that's okay, because you know all it takes is one storyteller and one story listener for a story to happen. And the story that I have today is a story about why people talk in different ways, why they speak different languages. All around the world, there are people, some of us speak English the way you and I do, but then there are people around the world who speak Spanish and German and Japanese and thousands of other languages. This is a story from the Hebrew Bible, from the very first book, Genesis, about why that is. A long, long, long time ago, everybody spoke the same language, the story says. And because they spoke the same language, they thought they were pretty good and pretty smart, and they decided one day that they were going to build a building, a tall tower that reached all the way to heaven. So they started, and they made a great big base, and then they made another story a little bit smaller and another a little smaller, and that tower went taller and taller and taller and higher and higher. One day, the story says, the heavenly hosts, the angels that live around God, looked down and saw what the people were doing and said, God, you better put a stop to this. If they ever get up here, they're just going to ruin heaven for all of us. Now, God could have just zapped them, burned the tower down, but God didn't do that. God chose to do something much more gentle. God simply made it so they spoke different languages. So when one person said, good morning, the other responded, buenos dias, or guten morgen. When one person asked for a brick, they got a handful of mud. They couldn't keep building the tower because they couldn't stand each other. And so people moved all over the world, and those who spoke the same languages lived in the same place. And that's a story about why people in different places speak different languages. Well, the story I'm about to tell is about how that gets fixed. Because on Pentecost, which we celebrate today, we tell a story about how everybody there, no matter what language they spoke, no matter where they came from, everybody heard the good news of God's love for them and for everybody else in a way that they could understand it, no matter what their language was. And after all, letting people know about God's love for them and for everybody is kind of our job, isn't it? So we got some help in that. And I'll talk more about that as the story continues, okay? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for helping us to tell other people about your love for us, for them, for all people. Help us to do that in a way that each person can understand and take it in, because we know that your love for them and for us is greater than anything we can imagine. And for that, we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming down. The story I just told is called an etiology, okay? It's an explanatory tale. It's a tale that is created to explain why something is the way it is. And the old rabbis weren't quite satisfied with this particular telling of the story, so they added a few things along the way. One of the stories they added, and you won't find this in the Bible, okay? But one of the stories they added was about a hunter, an archer whose name was Nimrod. And the ancient rabbi said that after the tower got to a certain height, Nimrod stood on the very top of it. He took his bow and his arrow, and he fired an arrow straight up. Now, of course, they lived in a three-story universe, the earth, those of us on the earth, the heavens above. Well, the arrow traveled up and up and up and up, and when it came down and fell on the top of the tower again, Nimrod picked it up and saw that it had blood on the tip. And he said, ah, now we will even conquer heaven. And that's when the rabbis said, God decided they needed to do something about these people building the tower. It really is a story about language, but it's also a story about human arrogance. The idea that we could somehow conquer God, that we could somehow own God, that we could somehow become God. And of course, we know that the whole problem isn't solved by splitting us up into different languages. Apparently, God underestimated the human attachment to arrogance, because all we did was shift that to our particular language group, or our particular culture, or our particular persuasion, and claim that, of course, ours was best. Ours was superior to all the others. So it didn't really solve the problem. That's where today's story comes in. Pentecost is a story of how a healing takes place in those languages. It's not that everybody speaks the same language, but it's that everybody hears what they need to hear in the way that they can understand it. Now, the disciples are waiting, okay? At the end of the book of Luke, at the beginning of Acts, the same author who wrote both says that Jesus instructed his followers to wait until the Holy Spirit came upon them. So they've been waiting in Jerusalem. How long? Well, Pentecost comes from the Greek word 50. It's a Jewish holiday, which in Hebrew is called Shavuos or Shavuot. So it's at least 40-something days past Passover, probably 30, 40-something days since they've seen Jesus. Over a month, they've been waiting for something to happen. Bored, afraid, hopeful, despairing, maybe all of the above. And then on the day of the holiday, the day when people are bringing the first fruits in to offer them to God from all over, they're sitting in a room in a house, and the wind begins to sound. We've been having storms this past week. Have you heard the wind? As the storm builds, they hear the wind, and either the sound of the wind or the wind fills the whole house. And when they look at each other, it's as if there is a flame sitting above each of their heads, just like I'm seeing Sean right now. There's a flame sitting above each and every person's head. And they recognize this is the wind of God's Spirit. This is the flame of God's presence. This is what they've been waiting for. And they begin to talk about it, but when they begin to talk about it, they're all talking different languages. What is this, the Tower of Babel all over again? Has God confused the languages all over again? Well, no. Because you see, in Jerusalem at that time, there were people, observant Jews, as they're described here, Gentiles, we Gentiles come in later. There were observant Jews from every nation. Now, if you haven't already guessed, that's a little bit of storyteller exaggeration for effect, okay? There weren't people from every nation, but if you are going to heal what happened at the Tower of Babel and the division of languages and the creation of these languages of every nation, then of course you have to have every nation represented in this group. And they're really great, easy to pronounce nations, aren't they, Neil? That's why people avoid this reading. But there are a variety of people speaking a variety of languages, and each one hears about the good news of what God has done in Jesus in the way that they can take it in the way that they can understand it. They're baffled. They're astounded by this. In fact, some are so astounded they think that the followers of Jesus are drunk. And, of course, Peter explains that one very easily. Of course we're not drunk. It's only 9:30 in the morning. What about in the afternoon? He doesn't explain that, you know? I mean, it's 5 o'clock somewhere, right? Often, drinking was associated with prophetic utterances. And some folks thought that was what was going on here. But if they were drunk, it was on the presence of the Spirit that was at work. And then in his sermon, Peter refers to the book of Joel. And he said, this is what was intended when the prophet wrote, in the last days, actually Joel just says afterwards, but because the followers of Jesus believed they were living in the last days, they paraphrase it a little bit. In the last days, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And did you hear who was included in that? the young and the old, men and women, slaves as well as free persons. Makes you think a little bit about what St. Paul wrote in his letter to the Galatians. In Christ there is no male nor female, Greek nor Jew, slave nor free. We could add young or old. We could add a lot of distinctions. Jesus has taken all those away. And so, absolutely anyone might become a vehicle of the Holy Spirit. The most surprising person in the world, the last person in the world you would think of who might be a vehicle of God's Spirit, is the very person God is likely to choose to impart to you what you need to know, to hear the good news in the way that you or I need to hear it. If you continue reading, the sermon goes on. And what Peter explains is that even though some of the people standing around him were complicit in Jesus' death, even though, he puts it kind of mildly, you were misled by other people, by evil people, even though you were a part of his death, Jesus is the one through whom the good news of God's love for you will come. The one you crucified is the source of your salvation. Is that the last place you would look, or what? That means nobody's left out. If even the people who were complicit in his death are welcomed, who's going to be left out? Who wouldn't be a vehicle of God's Spirit? All flesh. Not just all Jewish flesh, all flesh. Not just all Christian flesh, all flesh. Not just all those who agree with me, unfortunately, but all flesh. A number of years ago, I was working at the Board of Discipleship, I was invited to preach at a church in Los Angeles. And this particular church in Los Angeles had a Spanish language service and an English service. Now, I had had 2 years of high school Spanish. And as I began to try and refresh that, it became clear very quickly that I was not going to be able to preach in Spanish without a great deal of help. And so, as I prepared to preach, Teresa Santillan, our own Teresa Santillan, was the one who translated what I wanted to say into Spanish. So instead of standing up here and talking the way I do just to hear my head rattle, I would actually have something substantive to say and in a language that people could understand. Well, I read over it and read over it and read over it and practiced and practiced and practiced and thought, even if I can't create these words, maybe at least I can read them in a meaningful way. Well, we got to the service, and I started to preach, and it was terrible. Even though I was reading, I was stumbling over words, I was mispronouncing words, I thought, this is humiliating. This is the worst experience ever. They're not even going to be able to understand what I'm talking about. But there was a man about a third of the way back, very handsome, older man, looked like Cesar Romero, for those of you who remember Cesar Romero. And when I would mess something up, he would very quietly correct it. He would just say it the way it was supposed to be said. Not in an accusing way, not even necessarily in a correcting way. I think what he was hoping was that he could help me enough that people could actually believe that I had something important to say to them. So when I stumbled, he would pick me up by repeating what I was supposed to be saying. When I messed up, when I mispronounced something, he would simply repeat it. And so I finally survived the sermon, and I guess all the rest of the people there did too. But if they got anything out of it, it was not because of me, believe me. But I had the help of the Holy Spirit. I had someone who could translate those words into a meaningful language, and someone that when I butchered the language could help people hear the good news of God's love for them in a way that they could understand it and take it in. In spite of my frailties and failings. Folks, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. The last place I thought I would find that is in a Cesar Romero lookalike sitting in the congregation, but there he was. And he was so gracious about everything, so wonderful about everything. You know, we still haven't healed the division, have we? We, even those of us who speak the same language. I once heard Britain and the United States described as two countries divided by a common language. I think you could say that about just us in North America. We're divided by a common language. Sometimes you can even say that about us in families. What we mean to say is, I love you, I'm worried about you, and instead what we say is, where were you? I told you to be in at 10. What we mean to say is, I'm sorry I flew off the handle, please forgive me. And instead we say, you always do that, you make me so mad, I can't help myself. We don't say what we mean. We don't say what's in our heart. Even in the church, we use the same words, but they have such different meanings. We talk about discipleship, the authority of Scripture. We talk about grace in its various forms, Scripture, tradition, experience, and reason, and yet there are so many different meanings that often we misunderstand ourselves. And in fact, there are folks today suggesting that the United Methodist Church should split because we have such deep disagreements. I don't agree with that. I think it's good to have people who disagree on things trying to love each other. How do we heal that division? How do we listen for God's Spirit speaking through that person whom we may be surprised by, whom we may reject in other circumstances? The last person in the world that we would imagine God would speak to us through. That's a part of our quest, our Pentecost quest. To feel the presence of God's Spirit blowing through those persons we never expect to see it. To see the flame of God's presence residing on those persons where we would never, ever expect it to. We're going into annual conference this week, and I'll be honest with you, this is my 40th, and I haven't always looked forward to annual conference, believe it or not. But there is a part that makes me hopeful. The younger clergy and the younger laity, those young pastors who are going to be licensed this week or commissioned or ordained, those who recently were licensed or commissioned or ordained, those young representatives who come bringing a new vision of what church can be, a much more open and inclusive vision, they don't fit the old holes that we created and called it church. They don't fit the old expectations that we bring, and thank God they don't. Because those old expectations and those old slots are what got us where we are now, into this division. It seems to me, at least, that there is hope in these young people who bring a completely different idea of what it means to be church. An idea that I think is related to Pentecost. That we can speak the gospel in such a way that every single person will feel welcomed. That every single person will know of God's love for them and to hear it in a way that it will reside in them and live in them throughout their entire lives. Now that to me is hopeful. So my hope is for this annual conference, for this congregation, for our church generally, for Christians everywhere, that we might experience the presence of God's Spirit breathing through us, that we might see the presence of God's fire in each other, that we ultimately might find ways to communicate God's love to all flesh. Thanks be to God. When we affirm our faith, mostly we do that by our actions, but occasionally we choose to use words as well. So I invite you to stand with me, turn to number 883 in your hymnal. and join me as we affirm our faith. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
We welcome you all to worship this morning on this Pentecost Sunday. If you're a first-time visitor, we would like to invite you to join us in Reed Hall for a time of fellowship and an opportunity to get to know more about ways to be involved in the life of the church. And there's a small loaf of bread for you as a gift. In the pew racks in front of you, you'll see that there's a gray card. On one side, you can put comments for staff and lay leadership, and on the other, prayer requests, and we'll be lifting you up in prayer throughout the week. Please take a moment to record your attendance. There's a pad on the middle aisle, and you can pass that down. Look to see who you're worshiping with and possibly say hello at the end of the service, welcoming one another. We celebrate with the Guatemala mission team. They're safely in Guatemala, and we will continue to lift them in prayer throughout the week as they do their service down there. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to hear God speak to us. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Dear God, who comes, you are the hope of the world. Give us hope. Give us hope that beyond the worst the world can do, there is such a love that not even the world can take from us. Hope that none whom you love is ever finally lost, not even to death. O God who died in loneliness and pain, suffer to die in us all that keeps us from you. End in us all that keeps us from each other. And squelch in us those things that keep us from our best and bravest selves that we are to become. Dear Lord, who rose again, arise and live within us now, that we may be your body, that we may be your feet to walk into the world's pain, your hands to heal, your heart to break if need be for the love of the world. Thank you, God, that darkness is never the end. The end is light, and the light has already broken through into the world. O risen Christ, make Christs of us all. And now we pray the prayer you taught us to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Generous God, you have already given us all that we need. Help us trust your continued care, that we may share with others the abundance of your blessings through the giving of our tithes and offerings. Thanks.
And now I send you forth to serve God and your neighbor in all that you do. May the wind of God's Spirit breathe through you. May the fire of God's presence abide with you everywhere you go, this day and forevermore. Go in peace.